Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Carly. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My debut novel, Every Summer After, comes out on May 10th, which is 2 weeks from when we're recording today. But before I wrote the book, and up until very recently, I was an editor. I've worked for 16 years in the Canadian media industry. Most recently, I ran Refinery 29 Canada. Yeah, as the executive editor. So I launched that in Canada back in 2018. And then before that, I worked at a magazine called Chatelaine, which is Canada's kind of longest standing women's magazine, national women's magazine. I worked there for 4 years. I was the editor in chief for one whole issue. And then I quit to launch Refinery 29. But I've kind of made the rounds in Canadian media. I've worked at the Globe and Mail newspaper, at a magazine called Toronto Life. I studied journalism, and this has been kind of a drastic shift for me writing this novel, but it's something that I've always wanted to do.
Okay, I have so many questions. So first of all, when you were growing up, were you like, did you collect magazines? Like, did you, what kind of magazines did you go for, you know, growing up?
Yeah, I did collect magazines. I read Seventeen and YM and Teen. And then I started reading Vogue, but mostly so I could rip out the images and advertisements and put them on my wall. And I had my entire bedroom wall was covered with magazine pullouts. But I had like just so many, like years and years of issues in my bedroom. My mom made me like get rid of some at some point because she was like, the floor is going to cave in. There are so many magazines. And I had like issues memorized. I could be like, oh, you want that quiz on what dress to wear for your formal? I know what issue that's in. Let me find that for you. But I didn't really think of it as a career path until a friend of mine had suggested, we had a university day at school, and I didn't know what to kind of look at. There, all the universities came and you could go from table to table and talk to them about the programs you were interested in. And she was like, well, you love magazines. And I would make magazines for my friends. And she said, what about journalism? So that's how I kind of found that path.
I love this. Yeah, I grew up in the same magazines like YM, Teen, Seventeen, Cosmo Girl, you know.
Oh yeah, Cosmo Girl, I remember that one.
You know, and into all the stuff, and the collage and stuff like that. I chose my university because I had a good magazine program. I did not get into the magazine program. So that was like my biggest
regret.
I was like, I was close by approximation, whatever. But that was like a big part of, I think it's like such a like 90s, early 2000, early aughts, you know, like this is like a whole, you know, culture that, you totally know, and now there's like, you can sell those magazines on eBay. People buy them, you know.
I can't because my mom made me get rid of them.
You have to make a fortune. It could be a mortgage with these magazines.
I wish I had them. I really did. I really didn't want to get rid of them. I wish I still had them.
So let's chat about like what inspired you to write this book. Like what helped you, what made you pivot, or you know, did you always want to write your own fiction, or was it something you just like decided like, oh, give it a try?
It's something, so fiction and creative writing was my first love as a child, when I was very, very young, and I'd write stories for myself. I kept diaries from the time I was 7 years old until kind of a little bit in university, but mostly from the time I was seven all throughout high school. So I was always writing, but I didn't see it as a way to make a living. And that was something I was very concerned about as somebody who grew up with parents who, my parents owned a restaurant, which is a very tough business. We lived in a small working class town. So I'd seen financial struggle up close, and I had this very practical outlook. Little did I know how hard journalism was. So it was always something that I loved. And as I got older, I just had this idea in the back of my head that I would like to write a book, but it was more of a kind of fantasy than something I saw myself doing. And for even a long time when I was an adult, I didn't even read books that much. I found reading very stressful in university, trying to keep up with the coursework while I had a job. I had to have a job to pay my rent and help with my living expenses. And then as I got older, I found like there was just so much pressure to like read certain things, like the big important books. And I kind of turned away from reading for a long time. And then when I did a lot of reading at work. And when I was on maternity leave, I have two sons. And my older son is 5 years old. And when I was on maternity leave with him, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna try my hand at writing a book. And guess what? It's really hard to write a book if you don't read. So I got like, I didn't even get a chapter in before I started flailing. But then I believe it was in the beginning of 2019, I started reading again. Quite voraciously. I started with a lot of young adult books. I read Jenny Han's To All the Boys I Loved Before series, and I just kind of went from there. And then it I think what I'm hearing is often the case. You kind of move from YA, and I love stories, and then into romance and women's fiction. And I was reading Sally Thorne and Christina Loren, and I stopped watching TV. I stopped watching movies. I just read. And it was like my comfort space, because work was very stressful. My son was in daycare, we were sick all the time, nonstop. I had launched Refinery 29 Canada under very insane circumstances. And we were just like sick all the time. I couldn't sleep. And I read, and that was my happy place. And then in 2020, in the summer, my husband and son and I spent July and August at a lake near where I grew up, near the town of Barry's Bay, which is the setting for Every Summer After. And we were by the lake, and I was feeling very nostalgic. I had read my teenage journals early in lockdown in March, and I was feeling very nostalgic. And I got off a really stressful work phone call one day, and I hung up the phone and I was like, I'm writing my book. I need to do something creative for myself. I'm going to write it this year. I'm going to finish it by the end of the year. And I calculated how many words a day I'd need to write in order to get an 80,000 word manuscript done by December. And it was 388 words a day. And as somebody who had worked in digital media, that didn't seem so bad to me. So I would get up really early in the morning and just plug away at it every single day. And that's how I wrote the book.
All right. I got a question first as a reader, and then we'll talk about the book. Where did you get the recommendations as you started reading voraciously? Because I think that's like it can be overwhelming, and there's like so many options, but knowing where did you find those books? Like, I'm always curious.
Well, To All the Boys came about because the Netflix, the first Netflix movie had just dropped, and like Refinery 29 was all over it. And I was like, I'm gonna read the book. And so I read that book, and then I read her summer series, which I adored. And then I would look in, like if authors had talked about other authors in their acknowledgments, I would look them up. I started following people on Instagram and seeing what they were recommending. And then I found Goodreads and I'd look through Goodreads and see what kind of appealed to me. And I would also, like, if I found an author who I liked, I would just read all their books. Mm-hmm. So it was just this constant, I just didn't stop. And I live in Toronto, and the Toronto Public Library has this amazing, it's an amazing library system, and it has an amazing digital loan system. So I would have been broke if I bought all of those books. And I buy like the books that, I would buy the books I loved best so I could like own them. and then the library would serve up recommendations too.
I love this. Yeah, I actually had a similar path of reading. I started YA. I've always been a reader, but I didn't get this passion of voracious reader until 2016. And it started with YA, and then I just grown up to new adult and romance and stuff like that. And that's the beauty of libraries, where I was like, I can try books, and if I don't like them, I didn't pay for anything. It was free. You know?
Yes.
But yeah, I'm always curious to hear, like, where did you find the recommendations? Who are your book matchmakers? You know, so. All right, so let's chat about your debut novel. Tell us the elevator pitch.
Sure. So Every Summer After is a sweeping love story about Percy and Sam, who meet when Percy's family buys the cottage next door to Sam's house on a lake in Barry's Bay. And they're both teenagers when they meet. But now, when the book starts, they're 30 years old, and they haven't spoken in more than 10 years until Percy gets a call that has her racing back to Barry's Bay and racing back to Sam. And the book is told over alternating now and then timelines. So it's 6 summers in the past where you see them meet as 13-year-olds and become really close friends and fast friends, and then fall in love, and the one weekend in the present where they reunite, and it's a very kind of tumultuous weekend. And the whole time they're trying to figure out what it was that caused them to split apart and whether they can kind of overcome their past to end up together.
I love this. And so writing two timelines, did you write one timeline at a time, or did you alternate as you were writing? What was the process for that?
So the way the book appears, I wrote in that order. And I found that very helpful as a, I think as a first time novelist. This is the first manuscript I've completed other than that failed first chapter many years ago. Having that kind of very decisive structure to work within was very helpful. And it also gave me within each chapter, like a sense of, okay, at the end of this chapter, I need it to end in such a way that you want to come back to that timeline, but I have to keep the other timeline just as compelling so that they're balanced out. And that was really, really fun for me. And I could kind of imagine when I was writing one timeline, what was going to happen in the next. But I found it really fun writing that way.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. It sounds complicated too. So
the book math was complicated. It's like, okay, this is summer 18 years ago, and they're how old, and what year approximately would that be? It got confusing. I hate book math.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And so did you plot it out beforehand, or was it something you pants your way through?
I did not plot it out. I knew what the big moments and the big tensions were in the book. And I knew that I wanted it to end happily because I could, like, my heart can't really take, especially in 2020, but still now my heart can't really take anything. But I read a book recently that I thought was going to have a happy ending, and it didn't. And I was just like, oh, it's so good, but it's so hard. Mm-hmm. I had some scenes that I knew I wanted to include, and I would kind of think a little bit about, okay, what do I want for the summers? Like, what do I want to happen each summer? What's their kind of progression? But I really didn't plot it out.
It's all good. So let's have some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes, I have so many. So I was thinking about how to like organize it. So the book that I just finished is a book that probably nobody needs recommended to them, because I'm sure all your listeners have ordered it already, which is Book Lovers by Emily Henry. I just finished an early copy because I'm talking to her on May 6th about her book with Likeable, which is a recommendation app. And it is like everything you want from a rom-com, but also an Emily Henry book. And it's so delightful and everyone's going to love it. So that's that. And then the book that I just started reading is Alyssa Sussman's Funny You Should Ask, which I'm only a few chapters into, but when I first read the description of it, it was like a restless young journalist. And I was like, oh, I should say no more. but it's about, it's also dual timeline, which I didn't realize until I got the book, which I'm very excited about because I like to write dual timeline, but I also really enjoy reading it. And it's about a journalist who is assigned a profile of the man who's just been given the new Bond role. And it's told over the course of the weekend, I guess, or a couple days where they're doing this profile, but also now where they're asked to kind of redo the magic of that weekend. So that's what I'm reading right now. And I'm also on this Ellen Hildebrand kick. Mm-hmm. I adore 28 Summers. And I read that a couple of, maybe a year and a half ago. And then recently I was like, I gotta read like all of her books. So I read Golden Girl recently, which is about a family who is dealing with the aftermath of their mom's death. And she was, it's like all her books, they're in Nantucket. And she was a very famous novelist who wrote about Nantucket. And it is multi-POV. And one of the POVs is this woman up in heaven watching everything happen. And it is very funny. And but it also tugs on your heartstrings. And I love books that take you a lot of places emotionally and can do it really quickly. Like even within a couple of sentences, your kind of heart is banging all over the place. You're laughing, you're crying. And that book is great for that. And I just started reading Summer of 69, which is another one of her books about a family set in 1969. I was crying on page 5. So I'm on a real Ellen Hildebrand kick right now. And then another book I would recommend is, which I was a YA book I read when I was writing every summer after, and it's by an Australian author named Kath Crowley. Mm-hmm. And it's called Words in Deep Blue. And it is a beautiful book about grief, but also about young love. It's definitely like a love story. And it's told when the main character's brother has just passed away, and she has to move back to the city where she had previously lived, but she hasn't lived there for 3 years. And before she left, she sent her childhood friend and crush a letter telling him that she liked him, and he never responded. And now they're working together at his family's bookstore. And it's just, it's a beautiful book. Like the writing is just gorgeous. And I was delighted. I'm half Australian. So I was delighted to learn that the author was Australian, and the book has won lots of literary awards. And I think it's like all the things you want in a young adult novel. And then I'm always loving anything Talia Hibbert does. Mm-hmm. And Kate Claiborne, I love her too. Beth O'Leary, I'm very excited to read her new book.
Oh, it's so good. So good. Just go blind. Don't read the synopsis. Just go blind.
I will. I totally will. I do not need to read anything but her byline to know that I want to read it. I loved The Road Trip so much. I mean, I love all her books, but I love The Road Trip. And I loved last year, 7 Days in June by Tia Williams was, I think, my absolute favorite. Yeah, I just, I think that's probably a lot.
That's amazing. I agree. 7 days in June is also dual timeline.
And so is the road trip.
Yeah. So those are great recommendations. I read Funny You Should Ask. I actually had Lisa come to the show, and I have to tell you, I was fascinated. There's something to be said about Hollywood heroes, like alcoholic Hollywood heroes, you know, like, how to redeem that, you know, and Funny You Should Ask. It's just so good.
I'm so excited to read it. I think there aren't a ton of books that are about Hollywood because there's a bit of a, like, I'm very, very happy to be in that world.
Yeah. So there's How to Fake It in Hollywood, which is about fake relationship PR, similar theme. So that one, I would say just a renaissance for Ben Affleck fan fiction that I didn't read it. But those books fit into that. And there's Birds of California, which is a Lindsay Lohan fan fiction. She had a show.
I'm excited to read that.
They are great recommendations. All the Hollywood books are out there. I read them and I'll tell you, they're great.
Yes.
Awesome. So Carly, tell us where you can find you online.
So you can go to my website, which is carlyfortune.com. And Carly is spelled C-A-R-L-E-Y. And also I'm on Twitter and the social medias, but I'm most active on Instagram, which is at Carly Fortune.
Thank you, Carly, for being the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatdoweenextblog.com. The Retro Renex podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Retro Renex podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourrenexblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.